school 2 weeks ago at Hawthorne, bought a trailer, and she's going to take the children to Orlando in school, and Berman's going to stay home in batch. They'll come home on the weekends. This is Monday, February 16, 1970. Monday, February 16, 1970. Monday, February 16, 1970. We're in the rain, out in the car, in one of the heavy downpours of the season. It rained hardest right there. It rained hard again a time or two, too. But that was the first hard rain, a downpour, and she came out to sit down in the car with me and talk. I thought the children was there, but they weren't. They were over in the new house, and she was there by herself. But she sat out in the car and talked, and about 35 minutes, I'd say, on this tape. And it's a heavy downpour on the roof of the car and noisy, but the tape's clear.
A little while ago. Naturally, after I hung up my clothes.
Yeah.
I told Berman I was going to make it rain and hang up the clothes. It happens that way every time.
Yeah. Now, tell me about it, Shirley. I didn't know, you know, I've been meaning ever since I checked with you last, I've been meaning to come back over here and talk to you. But I didn't know all this had happened.
Well, I started to go over there, let's see, when was it? About 2 weeks ago. And you know, usually when you talk to someone about it, someone else may have another...
Can you hear what, your family?
Huh?
You can pull that a little bit.
They're all out there at the house. They're off reading and doing some studying.
So you're not worried about them?
No. They're all out there.
I see.
Bonnie, I believe, is reading to Tommy. Timmy's helping Danny learn to read. So I try to keep them reading and spelling as nothing else and doing their math.
Yeah.
So while I was cleaning up here after dinner. I got to the point where I couldn't get the children ready for school and send them off to school in the morning. I was just nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And every time that phone would ring, I expected something bad to happen.
Yeah.
Danny came home 3 weeks ago Wednesday.
Cracked that just a little bit.
He said, maybe it won't rain if I turn on this thing. No, it won't.
Okay. I tried.
Let's see, it was 3 weeks ago Tuesday, he came home and he was crying and all upset. His face was all excited, his face was all bruised. And I asked him what had happened. He said a Negro boy, a little bit larger than he was, got him down and pushed his face down into the dirt. And then stuck something sharp to his throat. And he couldn't see what this thing was that he stuck to his throat. He reported that. So I didn't have much to say about it. I just thought, well, at least they know about it, you know, and that might fix that. So I didn't say any more about Tuesday. Wednesday, the next day, he came home, and he was as white as a sheet. And he stuttered, and he couldn't talk hardly. He was so nervous, you know. And then finally, I got him to sit down and get quiet, and he explained to me that a Negro boy in the 9th or 10th grade threw a, what do you call it, switchblade knife at him. And I asked him how this happened, and he told me in detail just how it did happen. He had been standing over next to the fence on his side of the playground watching the older boys play baseball, which they usually do. And this one high school Negro boy come over to the fence and asked Danny he said, let me see your report card. And Danny said, no. He said, I said, let me have that report card. And Danny said, no. And the Negro boy then come around the side of the fence and started to chase Danny. And Danny didn't have time. He was leaving anyway because they had sounded a bell for his bus to leave, and we have warned these children never to miss that bus or never to be tardy for school, and they never have so far, not a one of them, and they know better than to miss it. So he headed for the bus, but this Negro boy was right on his tail, you see, right behind him, and he chased Danny. He got in between Danny and the teacher somehow so that Danny couldn't get to the teacher. And then he had to go to the bus meantime, so he thought, well, I'll cut through the big building and get on the outside and get to my bus. See, just go through the building and get to the bus rather than go all the way around where the boy might have caught him. Well, that was the wrong thing to do. I myself wouldn't have thought so, because he knew better than to miss the bus. He had to get to the bus, and he didn't have time to explain the whole story to the teacher, so through the building was the only escape from the Negro boy. Well, he got into the building, and there wasn't a soul in there to help him, and this colored boy blocked the door so he couldn't get out. And Danny, halfway crying, told him that he had to get to his bus. And Danny then tried to make a dart for it and go to the other door, and when he did, the boy pulled out a switchblade knife and threw it. And it passed Danny's ear right here, came right through this way, and fell to the floor. And Danny saw the knife, and then he did make a big run to that door. He scared the fire out of him. He got to the bus, and he told the kids about it on the bus, and they said that they didn't believe the story. The kids didn't believe the story that it really happened. And when he got home here, and then he told us about it, Vernon called Mrs. Scott, the principal, told her. And the next day, Thursday, I took Danny in, and he told the story again to her. And I told her, before I had asked for any transfers or anything, I said, I'll take you and go to Johnny's class, Timmy's class, or Danny's class, and find the boys that's in those rooms that carry knives. I said, they should be confiscated from them children, and those children expelled from school for the rest of the year for carrying knives. I said, that's what the law is on the school grounds, that they weren't supposed to carry knives. I said, if you do this, I said, I might have second thoughts. You know, she wouldn't leave that office and go with me to get those children's knives. And she knew that I was serious about it. She knew that I knew that there were children on that playground that had knives, and I could point them out to her, and she was interested. And that made me so mad, I didn't know what to do. So I asked her, I said, right then and there, I said, give me all five of the children's transfers. I said, I'm taking out of the school, and I said, I'll put them somewhere else where I think that they'll be safe. I said, their safety to me is more important than their education. So I got the transfers, and I took four of them out of school that day. And Johnny had to go to a Friday. He had to go back again Friday. And he got his transfer. So then I started looking around for another school. But now I cannot send the children into town. I can't send them anywhere in the same county except to Hawthorne School. This is our district school, and I can't send them anywhere without I move the count from the county. And to move into Marion County, the ratio is just as bad, if not worse. So according to the statistics, in the paper and the Almanac, Orlando was 8-1 ratio. So out there where we used to live was so far out from Orlando that I figured there may not be any Negroes out there. And that way maybe I can avoid the situation. So I checked into it, and sure enough, there's no Negroes. There are three or four Negro teachers, but at least I know that they're not going to stab them in the back. So we just made a decision to go ahead and get a trailer, and I'm going to take the children and move down there with them. He's going to stay here. This is the only thing I can think of to do. But I've had more parents to call me on the telephone for the last 2 weeks and tell me of occasions that have happened over there, and for me to go to the school board and to fight the situation here. But you can't get anywhere. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to use my children for ammunition. And that's what I'd be doing if I left them in Hawthorne School. So I've laid awake many nights trying to figure out what to do with them. And this is the only solution that I found. And Berman wanted to, as soon as he heard all about it, he wanted to sell out the entire place and move the state.
How did he happen to get on Arizona?
By looking in the almanac and the statistics on the Negro race, the population of the whites and the blacks, and the amount of the Negroes going into that state and leaving that state,
mm-hmm.
he's got the figures pretty well down.
You can find that out.
Oh yes, all through the almanac, you can find out different information. It's 30 to 1, I believe, in Arizona. It's 65 to 1 in New Hampshire. 85 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I believe it is. It's about 65 to 1 in some towns here in some places here in Florida. They break it down in states and they break it down in counties and cities and things like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, most of the Negro populations around the big university cities and your big cities like New York City. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get away from it. I don't mind the racial mix so much as I do the importance of them not carrying out the laws of the schools. And another thing that I've known for a couple of years, but you can't just come right out and say it unless you have a lot of proof. But I know for a fact that my children are not doing up to grade work. They should be doing a lot more, a lot better than they're doing. But they're not getting it because the Negro child can't do it. And until they can do it, my children don't get it. So there they sit. And they're wasting time. They're getting older. Johnny's losing interest, really. He should have more interest in his work than what he has.
So you just got a big old house, Felix?
Robert and I went shopping around Gainesville to see what we could find. And here in Gainesville, on the same trailers that they have in Orlando, they're about $500 to $600 cheaper, more expensive than they are in Orlando.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't doubt that.
So I told Berman, I said, let's shop in Orlando before we make a decision. He had already made a decision on one in Gainesville.
On one of the trailers?
And I didn't think it was a one bedroom, and I could have made another bedroom out of the study room. And I had one bath. And I told him, I said, honey, I think we can do a lot better for the money that this one costs here in Orlando. I said, we'll try it before we tell these people we'll take it. And sure enough, we went down there, got to looking around, and we found one for $800 cheaper, all set up, everything, and it's right. It's no further than from here to that truck from the front of the schoolhouse. The children walk right across the road to the school.
Yeah,
and it's also, you don't even have to move it. Right. Well, I'm renting the lot that they have on, $30 a month.
Yeah.
And then for some work that Berman can do for him and helping him move and everything, they're going to be back the first 2 months. Well, I'm only going to rent it for 4 months, so that'll only be $60 rent. It costs more than that to move.
Oh, you're going to rent it?
The property.
Oh, the property.
With the trailer's on.
Yeah.
And we bought the trailer.
Right there.
And then we can always move the trailer back down here. His daddy can use the trailer if we
want. Yes.
So we will do that anyhow for daddy's sake, you know. But now I'm going down there, and this woman has been hired to help daddy, and they paid her $125 a month to do his cooking for him. So I've got her job for the next 4 months to help my expenses with going and, going to back and forth. Because I'm coming home on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'll be home for the summer vacation. So. And they want me to work in the lunchroom over there to supervise when they open this next year. It's not open this year, but it will be next year. But
down
I hadn't
there.
Counted on staying there next year.
Down there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this woman that I will... Most of these people knew me from when we were there before, 8 years ago. And right away she asked me if I wouldn't help them out, get started and get everything set up. And have a permanent job there if I wanted. Well, that would give me the same hours as the children. I'd go to and fro with them. And right there at the trailer, too, it wouldn't be bad.
I declare, when you all make up your mind, you sure move fast.
I did a lot of thinking. I mean, I thought and thought and thought. And in order not to go in the hole, I'd have to get something, to do. And and being away from Burma, I'd have to have something to occupy my mind. So I told him that I'd think about next year. I have Tommy with me for the rest of the year this year because they don't have a kindergarten for him down there. It's not opened up this year, but they're building a brand new school and it'll be open September the 1st. But then he'll be in first grade, so I don't have to worry about next year. They'll all be in school. But I don't know. I'm still hoping somehow that they're going to straighten this mess up here and that we can move back and bring Daddy up here and I can continue fixing for him, doing for him, and get back together as a family again. But this is the only solution that I have been able to think of.
And this won't hurt you at all. I mean, it'll just be good for you. The children will pick it up down there and start to work.
They're so much more advanced than that school than they are here in Hawthorne. I'm afraid they're going to have to set my children back a year in order for them to catch up to the work that they're doing. But I'd rather do it that way and do it now and get it over with. And
well,
I would.
You can help them a little bit.
Well, I have been. I've been really working with them the last 3 weeks. Matter of fact, they've done more work the last 3 weeks with me than they have all year in school.
It's a sin
the way they have let those children.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I feel sorry for those children when they're going to that school now.
Yeah.
They're making A's and B's, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything.
I guess they just give everybody an A and B.
The sad part of it is that the parents either don't care, they're not interested, and they let the child go on, at this snail's face, and they're not learning a thing.
Now you got a how big a trailer is again?
It's a 64 new moon. Has 2 bedrooms and a bath and a half. And he put in a brand new oil furnace. It ran about $400. He did charge us $200 for that, $2,000 for the trailer. Matter of fact, we told him, we put the price on it ourselves. We told him we wouldn't go over $2,000. So he said, I'll let you have it. But that anywhere else, that trailer would have ran us at least to $2,800.
Yeah.
Even there in Orlando. And then this one's all set up.
Yeah.
If we'd have bought it here, it'd cost us $100 to have it pulled down.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Then it might not hold together that long.
And this one is in very good shape. The people that had it, the man that bought it originally, died right after he bought it, and it was put in storage until about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the will or something, it had to be decided, and it was put in storage for until a year ago, and this... old couple, middle-aged, I guess to say. She's a nurse and he's retired. They lived in it for a year and they kept it in very good condition.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Yeah.
But his Uncle Colbert, wanted to rent us a home down there, a place to stay for the 4 months. He wanted $125 a month rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could see renting in the first place.
Yeah.
When he said 125, that in the second place, that didn't go so well with me.
Yeah.
So he did finally come down to 70 for a 1-bedroom cottage, and I told him no. I said I can't put out $70 a month rent and just not have anything to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather put it in the cellar.
Yeah, Shirley, I heard Governor Kirk on this accent program last week. He was the first speaker, the keynote. I had never really been up close to him before. I was impressed with him.
Oh, well, I think he's wonderful.
And why the newspapers handle him so rough and jump on him everything he tries to do.
I like this governor's club. You know, they've investigated, and worried him to death about this. I hope it doesn't prove out to be anything radical on his part, because he can do so much for Florida, I believe, if he's given the chance.
Mm-hmm.
I've sided with him on every issue that he's come up with yet, even against the teachers' walkout 2 years ago, when he was so firmly against that. I sided with him with that because of the fact that he was against more taxes and had a loan taxes. And all along, he's been right in my eyes. I don't know, there's a lot of argument against that issue on the school teachers to have, but you can see now why he was so against that. And the teachers can now, too. I went over to Hawthorne to get these children out, and we went around to the children, wanted to say goodbye to the teachers and their classmates, and that was a very emotional upset. The children were so tied up with their teachers. You know, there's a few good ones over there, and I hated to take the children out of the one out of those classes. And those teachers would walk outside with me, and they'd look over to where this new building, this new school was being built. And she said, "You know, Mrs. Dodd," she said, "it sure hurts to see the best families having to leave the school." So it wasn't just myself. There were several others that went. And she said,
"It's moving on."
Yeah. She said, "That makes the ratio here go all the higher." And she said, "We ought to all stay together and fight. And there's really not much you can do unless you..." Now, if the teachers wanted to do a good thing and wanted a better education for the children and a better program, now is the time to walk out. That's what I told her. I said, "Now is the time for all the teachers to just quit and walk out." I said, "Then we'd get heard." But she said, "They're not going to walk out this time. So they don't have enough strength. Some of them have... they're just not banding together. They've just gotten tired and dropped out of the situation."
Well, they got so many troubles.
I said, "Well, now if the parents and the teachers would get together and the parents didn't send the children to school and the teachers didn't go to school to teach," I said, "Yeah, don't you know there has to be something changed?" But they're not. They're not interested in the children. Mm-hmm. They weren't 2 years ago. They were more interested in that dollar.
Yeah.
And that proves it right there. But she said, "Look at that school over there." She said, "You know, I want to cry every time I look over." She said, "Here we're building a fine new school and just about to get ready for next year's program." And she said, "Now we're just building it for them." And I said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I saw that coming 2 years ago, and that's why I voted against it." And her husband was the mayor over there in Hawthorne, and they were all for that school. I said, "That's the main reason why I didn't want it, because I could see this coming."
Yeah.
And Talbert, he told me, he said, "Now you think we have a problem with this walkout?" He said, wait until about 2-3 years from now." He said, "We're really going to have a problem." And we got into it then. We discussed a little of this in the future, and this is sure enough came yeah. about.
He knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And coming fast.
But see, he integrated Hawthorne almost 5 years before his time, before he was supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because he figured that this is going to be a very troublesome spot out here.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, every day it builds up and builds up.
Mm-hmm.
He shut down 2 Negro schools so that Hawthorne would be all the more integrated. That's that shell out there at Hawthorne. And he shut down Lincoln. We got, 180 students from Lincoln, this side of Newman's Lake is our boundary, and there's 180 students from there that came out to Lincoln. There was 600, I believe, went from Lincoln to GHS, and already then, GHS, all their students were studying in the hallways and auditoriums. I don't know where they're putting them now. It's sickening. This whole year has been wasted. To take a child up right in the middle of the year and transfer them to another school, another teacher. I just understand.
Something may come of Kirk. I don't know what he developed into, you know. But I was really impressed with him the other night.
How about Gurney? He's really studied quite a bit.
Now, I haven't been exposed to Gurney at all.
He's really surprised me. See, Berman and Gurney went to school together, and they more or less grew up together.
Oh, really?
Uncle Colbert's the one that financed him all through his political.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He used to live there in Vernon Park. That's his home, Vernon Park. And he's really surprised me, though, because he's very quiet. He's not very outspoken. But, boy, he's really standing out on this issue, and I hope he gets somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
what you doing with your field down there?
Melon again. I almost split. I didn't know it. Berman had talked to, or rather, he was talked into it by Smith, Mr. Smith, that comes out here from my from Citra. And he wanted to put some melons in, and he just wanted a small patch, and he wanted to put some okra in. And he asked Berman if he could rent the ground. Berman said, well, he said, I'll go to the house with you and put some in. He said, see how we do. Well, it started out that we were going to put just a little spot in because they were on, he wanted to have some to sell on the roadside, you see.
Oh, yeah.
So Berman's helped. Sorry for him, so he said, all right, he says, I'll give you that much to put that much ground to use. And so before they got through, they had the whole field.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, now you're not going out here because of this, and he's promised to put that in ryegrass, and you stay out of that field.
Well, is he a well-known man?
I think he's just, you know, just gets by. He's
not like Wilkinson.
Smith's a pretty good man. He's a hard worker, but he's got a real bad heart. And he left here just a few minutes ago. He had dinner with us, and left here just a few minutes ago. And he was hurting so bad. Oh, I just felt so sorry for him. There wasn't a thing he could do, you know, for him, but he was hurting so bad.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, don't you show up here tomorrow. I said, we won't be here. If anything happens to you and we're not here, I'd feel bad about it. So he says, oh, well, I've got to get that seed in the ground. He said, I got the fertilizer out.
Is he doing the work himself?
Berman and him together. Berman goes down and helps him out.
Yeah.
He would, you know.
Yeah.
He's had such bad luck. His wife has had cancer. She's all right now, but she's working now. But, I think they're still trying to pay medical expenses.
Yeah.
They won't lose their home.
Well, Berman, that's the history of Berman's partnerships. It all fall on him.
It all melt to him on his side somehow or another. But, maybe one day we'll be rewarded. We don't seem to be getting anywhere in here. Well, I can't say that either. We were doing pretty good. I think we did exceptionally well toward the end of last year and the first of this year so far. Now, if it hadn't been for this educational mess, we would have been all right.
Yeah. Faye said she would be delighted for Berman to come by over there and have a hot meal. For a while, until he gets used to matching.
He said, I just might do that last night when I mentioned it to him.
And I'll tell you when we eat. We eat right along there during the evening news, somewhere around 6:30. So we can look at the news and eat, and then he could leave or sit, whatever he wanted to do.
Well,
but I mean, there wouldn't be
he's
no
going to be lost for a while because, you know, coming home to a house full of kids and then no kids to
go home
to.
Oh, yeah. It'd be awful.
Every time I think about it, I want to cry. I try not to think about it.
Why is this? Yeah, it's just awful.
I don't know how it's going. We may not be able to do this. I may have to come home. I don't know. I told my sister, as soon as school is out on Friday, I'm going to pick up the children and come right home and start the little wagon of cars.
Yeah. Well, that's not so bad.
But then we have to leave early Sunday afternoon because I don't like to drive after dark.
Well, you mean you can't leave Monday morning?
Oh, no, they have to be at school so early. See, they start
100 miles.
It's about 125, and then you go, and it gets real congested after you get to Orlando, and that last 25 miles is the worst.
Yeah.
And you get the morning rushes going out to Cape Canaveral, and you get the morning traffic coming into a Martin plant, so you got all that heavy traffic going to and from about between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'd just as soon miss that. And the kids have to be in school, and that's really a long trip for them just before going to school. they get up with a better peace of mind if they're, you know, they just get up in bed and have their breakfast.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, look, I just think about getting to stay at home a little longer. You think Ms. Gus is feeling, or you know she's feeling better?
I think she is. Of course, she's going to complain even when she's well. So
yeah,
that's
but
what
you
I'm
can tell
going
from
on.
Looking at her.
Yeah, she's lost some weight. And that's helped her quite a bit.
Yeah.
I believe she's sticking to a diet that he gave her. And if she does, she'll fare off a lot better. But,
yeah.
And I don't know whether Marvin has quit his job or not. She's going to get him to quit. And if he does, that'll make her feel better.
Yeah.
But still, and all, I think it makes Marvin feel better if he keeps the job. So that's just a good one way as there's another.
Yeah, he might catch it too.
I think she's,
I get it.
I think she's doing a lot better. She seemed to be a lot more at ease than she was before. She's so nervous.
Well, she's had to level off. Whenever she gets excited or nervous, that hurts.
Yes, and I think she's realizing.
And it hurts so bad, I think it puts fear in you.
She's,
from what I hear.
Well, until she found out what was wrong with her, I believe she worried more, you know, about her health, and I think she thought it was cancer.
Yeah.
And then when she found out what it was and how she's supposed to take care of herself, I think now she's doing a lot better. Just more or less taking it a lot easier than she was.
They still have a trailer?
Yes, but that's... I thought, well, I'll get that trailer and make do with that, you know. I was just going to, you know, get up and get the kids and get them back in school again. I'm glad I waited, but now she wanted to sell me the trailer for $1,000. And she didn't have the title to it. She doesn't have the title to it yet. And I wasn't about to buy anything without a title.
No.
I'm not, well, I don't think in the first place they'd let me take it out of the county. And I told her, I said, I wouldn't touch that thing without the title with a 10-foot pole. I said, I just don't want it.
Just make trouble.
I got enough trouble with the thing, so I told her, I said, I don't want it. So she said that she was going to look into that title. That was about 2-3 weeks ago. Well, she did. And the fella told her it would be in the mail here last week. Well, it wasn't in the mail. She called him up and wanted to know where the title was. And if he didn't have it there, she's going to take it to the lawyer. It hasn't come yet, so I guess she's going to have to take it to court.
Hmm. She just got into that.
I think she's satisfied, though, with that because she doesn't really want the trailer. She doesn't have any use for it. And the thing really isn't worth the $1,000.
It's not. I'm not seeing any.
Well, we went in, your first impression, and if you don't know much about trailers like how I did, I thought, well, I'd probably pay $1,000. Then after I went back and looked it all over real good, I wouldn't give her $400 for it. It's just not right. There's nothing hooked up, nothing works, the refrigerator doesn't work, the sink isn't hooked up, you know, take a lot of work to fix that. The stove doesn't half work.
Oh, really?
So, I don't know.
She told me she went over there and bought it, and I said, well, how'd you know whether you're getting your money's worth or not? And she's cute as pie. She said she wasn't there, she's getting the money's worth then. She wanted a trailer.
That's me, the first time I went over there to look at it. I thought, well, boy, I'd get anything, you know, just to get them kids out of here and back in school.
Yes.
And I went back over there with Berman to look at it. Berman went in one door and he came back out again.
Yeah, he
knows right away.
Yeah, he can tell in a minute.
I hadn't said one way or another whether I'd want to get it or not because I wanted to make sure he made the decision, you know. But if I see something I want, then I'll tell him to make up his mind, make a decision. If he makes it the wrong way, then I'll throw a cork in it somehow or another. But usually, we agreed on most things.
Sherry, when do you expect those birds to begin parading?
Oh, yesterday the kids come in and they were all excited and they were yelling, jumping up and down. And I asked them what in the world was the matter, and they said the Sanctuary Hill cranes are back. And I ran outside and I saw 22 of them coming across this way, and they looked like they were landing down there. So I jumped in the car and went down there, and they were making a big fuss. I mean, a big racket. I got in the car and drove down to the swamp area down there, and I looked all over and I can't find any birds yet. I don't know where they disappeared to. They never did take off again. They lit down in the back of that swamp. And I got out and I walked all over and I listened and listened, and I can't find any birds. And there was more back in there because Vernon said that he heard them all the time. He and Spence was down there working Saturday. So Sunday, I just spent most of the day looking around for those birds, and I still haven't found them.
Does Mr. Smith talk pretty well? Is he pretty good?
He says he's just a dumb little farmer, and you just have to show him what to do, but that fellow has good judgment.
He got,
He is very good. And he's a very good worker.
And he's had a lot of experience.
Yeah.
I might love to talk to him.
Yes,
you know,
I
had.
You could come this morning.
I had put off talking to Clyde Wilkinson. I never did talk to him, you know. And I kept putting off, and I didn't think, well, there's no hurry about that. I just wanted to go up and talk to him about Melon.
Dick Wilkinson,
Yes, sir. Now that's what happened to me.
Well,
I tell you, the world changes so fast.
Smith, I think he's a very nice fellow.
Somebody came in.
Yeah, that's
really
nice.
Shelly, I've got to go. And I just had to go before you went.
I started to go over about 2 weeks ago, Monday or Tuesday.
I wish you all could put us on your list, but I know you've got so much to do. We don't do as much as you do. We could just drop by here.
Well, wish you would. We'd be home now every weekend.
Yeah.
And that's about for any holidays the children might have. And then if it's during the week, then I won't be home, you know, unless they have 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
But this is the only thing, the only solution that I can imagine that I could do. And I'm hoping that somehow I can get these children in PK Young School next year and move back down here. Because they told me that Berman, working at the university, would have priority over anyone outside of it once they register for the school.
Yeah.
So, I must look into that.
Look into that. Out. Yeah.
So, I'm going to look into that, but that's the only other school. I can't pay $50 a head per month for a private school for them, and I've got to send them over to Hawthorne.
Oh, you don't want in that private school business. That won't get you in there.
No. I wish you'd come in, though, for a while. Oh, my goodness.
Let me get you up there.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I'm
going to
just jump right out
and
the
goddamn.
Come and
see
me again.
Right. Okay, hello, Corey. Right on. Bye. Now, that's the end of this talk with Shirley on Monday, the 16th of February, 1970, right in the heart of the downpour. I don't know. Someplace in Florida, the weatherman said on Channel 4, it rained 9 inches. So this is a wave, a streak of rain. Clear across the strait, up further, across the state. Here's the end of the talk with Shirley, Monday afternoon, middle of the afternoon, on the way back from the office, Monday the 16th of February, 1970. And this is Channel 2, right, I think it is, maybe it's over. 485 or 90, Channel 2 something, right or over, February, the Monday, February the 16th, 1970.